Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Proverbs chapter 31 verse 26 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." I would like to talk to you in regards to mothers about the power of a seed. As a matter of fact, I want to go through some very famous mothers whom you may not know their name, but you will certainly know their children. This woman actually said to all of her children who suffered tremendous setbacks and tragedies all of their life, she said, "Birds sing after storms." And she would encourage one child after the other. Two of her children were shot dead by assailants. She suffered many, many setbacks in a very difficult life, very famous, very rich, and also very devoted to Jesus Christ. She used to tell her sons, she had a lot of them, she said, "Birds, honey, don't sing," or "Birds, honey, sing after storms." No matter what you're going through, she would tell you that life isn't about the milestones. They had a lot of them. Life is about the moment. This was Rose Kennedy, John F. Kennedy's mother. Do you realize that there was another famous man who had a mom named Nancy Hanks? And this man stood up in the 1800s and said, "All that I am and all that I ever will be, I'll owe it to my mother." As a matter of fact, she instilled virtue and character in me, and honesty and compassion. And she's actually one that taught me how to read and emphasized reading in my life. She actually died when I was 9, drinking spoiled milk that was tainted by a very deadly root. And this young man was devastated. He used to call his mother my angel. You know, Nehemiah 9 and 6 says God created angels. But after this woman died and this 9-year-old boy was left by himself with his dad, he turns around and he marries another woman who became his stepmom. You know, stepmoms get a bad name in our culture thanks to Disney movies and Cinderella and that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, I know hundreds of good stepmoms that love God and are producing great children. Somebody give stepmoms a big hand clap in here if you don't mind. Well, this famous person had a stepmom, and she walked into a house after his mother, the angel, had died, and it was in disarray. It was filthy. And as a matter of fact, she remarked about this particular young man that became her son. She said, "He didn't even look human." It's pretty bad when your mom says you don't even look human. So she began to dress him up and shave him, began to help him. And when he was a boy, she said, "He never told me a lie." As a matter of fact, he began to call her mother, and all of his life, at the end of his life, he called her his best friend. Do you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about the stepmother and the mother of Abraham Lincoln. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, there was a man one time that affected every single person in this room, and he said, "All that I ever attribute to my success in this life was to the moral and the intelligent and to the physical education that my mother gave me. I received from my mother. She was absolutely the most stunning, beautiful woman I've ever seen to this day." And he praised his mother. As a matter of fact, when he was 15, he tried to join the British Navy, and his mom stood in the way and said, "Oh, no, you're not." I'm talking about George Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that there was this mom one time, and her son affected the whole world for the gospel of Jesus Christ? As a matter of fact, he said, "The person that taught me how to pray and the person that taught me how to make it was my mom." He said, "Out of all the people that I've ever known," and he had known presidents and advised them, he had known secretaries of states, he had known princes and kings, and he had known paupers and famous people and Mother Teresa. He met almost every famous person you could ever imagine. And he said, "Out of all the people that I've ever met, no one affected my life like my mother. Out of all the people that I've ever known, she had the greatest influence on me, and she safeguarded me. And she taught me along with my dad to pray." Do you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Merle Graham, Billy Graham's mother. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, there was a woman named Odith. And this woman died in her son's arms while he held her in his arms. And she looked up to him in her dying moments and said what most moms always say silently, publicly, and privately. She looked up and said in her last dying words, Odith, while she was being held in the hands of her son, she said, whatever you do, and her last words were, stick together. That's only the kind of wisdom a mom knows about. Do you realize that his mom was taught him faith and conviction? His mother taught him how to pray. And he said, my mama taught me how to pray through exposure. We didn't just pray around the dinner table. No, my mom would have a room she would be in, and I would know she was praying, and she exposed me to prayer. She'd be in the kitchen. She'd start praying and expose me to prayer. He said, nobody can pray like my mama, and out of all the things that I've ever had that brought me to an awareness of God, and this man is known for knowing the Spirit of God, he said, it was my mother's exposure to me in her prayer life that changed my life. I'm talking about Thomas Dexter Jakes, T.D. Jakes. Do you understand there was a woman named June Ferguson? And June Ferguson had it hard. She was actually a slave. And everyone in here has been affected by the life of June Ferguson. As a matter of fact, she was born a slave because the plantation owner slept with her and she gave birth to a son. She had taken that son and taken care of him as a slave. A lot of times slave children were separated. A lot of times slave children would be removed from their parents, and she would go kill a chicken off the plantation and she'd come back and cook it and feed it to her son at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning so no one would see her. She cared for her son like no mother's ever cared for her son before. She couldn't even read herself and then taught herself to read and then turned around and made sure her son was a reader and bought him his first book. And when the emancipation took place, she moved her family to West Virginia. She instilled into her son courage, and when the emancipation took place, she was the one slave that stood up on the plantation, and she said and read the Emancipation Proclamation, and all the slaves, they couldn't read, so they all found out they were free, and she read about their freedom to them. As a matter of fact, Psalms 46, 1 through 3 says, God is a refuge and strength and a very present help in time of need. She would was an incredible woman. I could talk about this one woman for hours. But do you realize who she gave birth to? She gave birth to Booker T. Washington. You know, there was this one woman who had a child, and all the teachers said, he's mentally unfit. He'll never amount to a hill of beans in his life. You be careful ever believing what somebody says about you. Be very careful about it. And they told him, you're slow, and put him in the slow class. They told him, you're never going to make it. And it made his mama mad. Any mama's got a witness? Give me three snaps and a rewind this morning. And she said, oh, no, you don't. My son is not dumb. My son is going to make it. My son is not going to be in the slow class. I'm going to tutor him, and I'm going to teach him. And he actually was homeschooled. And so his mama, who was a teacher, was angry because another teacher called her son mentally incompetent. And This is what this man grew up to say. Every one of you are affected by him right this very moment. He said, my mother was the making of me. And she was so true and so sure of me that I felt I had to live up to her expectations. And that out of all the people in the world that I did not want to fail, I did not want to fail my mom. I'm talking about Thomas Edison. Ladies and gentlemen, there was this woman named Lu Xiaoying. And she was in China. No one knows her name. You don't even know who she is today, more than likely. But she was extremely poor. She used to go and get on all fours and crawl herself through the dump in China, picking up scraps out of the garbage to feed her and her daughter. And she was uneducated, could not read and write, but she began to work in China during a time when if you had an extra child, that child was going to be killed. And so many mothers and fathers would take their young girls in China and throw them into the dump. Do you realize that Lou found over 30 children in the dump and adopted every single one of them and became their mother? That Lou reminds me of Proverbs 31:8, and it says, speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves. And Lou, even though poor and uneducated, supported herself by scavenging through the trash, went on and adopted and rescued over 30 babies found in the trash in China. And you know what she said? She says, children need the love of a mother, and children are the most precious of lives. If you believe that, say amen. Well, there was this other woman, and she had a hard life, and I have never really realized just what a difficult life this woman had until I began to do a lot of study in history. You know, back in the ancient times, there was this goddess, and goddesses were females, but female goddesses were tied to agriculture. And so if the female goddess was happy, people lived and ate. And you have to realize how important that was in an agrarian society. But she was at a supernatural event with one of her boys. She had several of them, and you know all of them. You may not know they were her boys, but they looked at her in a supernatural event and said, this woman is full of grace. Pretty good compliment for a mom. She was the first person ever to hear about how her son was going to change the world. She's actually mentioned 51 times in the New Testament and was called blessed among all women. She was actually the only eyewitness to the incarnation, the birth, and the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. She did so in a world where if you were threatened with a divorce, women had no right to speak in court and were considered guilty, and only the man could file for a divorce. It was a world where half of all children birthed died. And it was a world where most moms only lived to 30. And if they lived to be 20 and were not married, they were penalized financially. I think about Sarah. That's one of my favorite stories. Abraham walks up to Sarah. She's really, really old and says, God told me you're going to get pregnant. And you know what the Bible says that Sarah did? It says she laughed out loud. Now, how many of you that are 80 plus up that way, if someone told you you were going to have a baby, would laugh too? You understand Sarah? Well, Sarah began to laugh, according to Genesis 21, but she said something really interesting after the birth of Isaac. She said that God has brought me laughter. The Bible says laughter does good like a medicine. There was a woman named Leona Edwards, and she had a little girl, and she was a single mom. And I know some incredible single moms in this congregation. I try to tell them every time I see them. You know, I see these moms who are single moms, and I watch them work faithfully every week. I watch them work two or three jobs just to make ends meet. I watch them take care of their kids with an efficiency that amazes me. Everybody, let's give single moms a great big hand clap today. Well, Leona Edwards was a single mom. She was a farmer, and she was a teacher, taught herself to read and write, and was a teacher. As a matter of fact, she homeschooled her children. And it reminds me of Hagar. A lot of people are down on Hagar, but it's interesting in Genesis 21 that God looked down and said, Hagar, honey, why are you crying? She says, I'm crying because my child is crying, Ishmael. And God took care of that single mom, just like Leona Edwards took care of Rosa Parks. You know, ladies and gentlemen, that Elizabeth in the Bible, in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, believed in miracles. And I think about how many mothers have taught their children to dream and to believe in miracles. But one of my favorite moms was Irina Sendler. Irina Sendler was Polish. She was a Polish employee during the Holocaust in Germany under the SS, Hitler's regime. She actually worked at the Warsaw Social Welfare Department, and you know the Warsaw ghettos where they placed Jewish people. And she actually worked with children, and she smuggled over 2,500 children to safety through the auspices of Christian homes, orphanages, making fake passports, sneaking 2,000. They made a movie about Schindler's List, which I love. They need to make a movie about this woman. Do you realize the SS found out about it or tried to find out about it, and they went into the welfare department and they took this woman and beat her profusely? That they tortured her for hours. And just like a good mom, she wouldn't give up one piece of evidence. Protected her children, laid her life down for the children. Jeremy, come on up here, buddy. Arrested and tortured by the Gestapo. A mother of three children, her own, helped 2,500 Jewish children and other children. You see, they didn't just kill Jewish children. They killed children who were disabled and many other kind of infringements. But John 15:13 says, no greater love than this, that you lay down your life for your friend. But my favorite one out of all of them is this one. There was a woman who used to play the church organ every single Sunday. She was faithful. Her little son would come up while she'd play the organ week after week after week and sit on her lap, and she'd look at him and she'd say to her little son, don't you let them, talking about the culture of racism at the time, tell you who you are. And she said, it's culture and it can change. And every week while she'd play the organ, it was a black church, so there was a lot of life in that. And she would play that organ, they would shout and sing and dance and praise the name of the living God. And that little boy would come up to her Sunday after Sunday and sit on his mama's lap while she played the organ. And she'd say, don't you believe who they tell you you are? You are greater than that. This is a cultural thing and you can change it. This woman had a hard life. Most people are unaware of it. Raised her children with a sense of self-respect. As a matter of fact, her very quotes is that her son said, she made it clear that she opposed the system and that I must never allow it to make me feel inferior. She was actually shot and killed, and I didn't know this until this week. She was actually shot and killed while she was playing the organ at church. I'm talking about Dr. Martin Luther King's mother, Alberta. So moms, there's five things that you've taught us about love. And 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. You said love is unconditional. You taught us that love is nurturing. You taught us that love is blind, but it's also biased. You've set boundaries, but you have no boundaries. You held us tight, but you knew you had to set us free. And everyone with a mother, listen up. I want you to love your mother today, verbally. I want you to love her physically. I want you to love her attentively. I want you to love her patiently. I want you to love her gratefully. I want you to love her generously. And I want you to love her honorably. A lot of people don't know what it means when the Bible says honor your mother and your father. It does mean that you respect them through life's passages. But the Hebrew actually means that when it says you are to honor your mother and father is that you are to make sure. It is your job as children to make sure that your mom and dad die with dignity. That you protect their dignity to the day they die. That's what it means to honor your mother and father. But moms, I want you to understand something. You have shaped culture and given us cherished moments. You have built us as individuals. You have more influence than the Pentagon or the White House. Your strength of love is greater than natural laws, greater than any spiritual teacher, Oprah Winfrey said. Moms, you don't know what the word grown means. How many of you know you're always a mom, no matter how old they get? The word grown doesn't mean a thing to you. You have spiritual power like no other. You teach people to pray. And I am not telling you that God is a female, and I am not telling you that God is a male. Both are wrong. God is androgynous, male and female. And Moses called God a wet nurse. Moses called God a birth sender. Isaiah, Hosea, all of them referred to God in a feminine term. And I find it interesting, if you go back as far as you can go back in history, if you believe the world is 7,000 years old, right at it, you can go back 7,000 years and see God and the concept of God as effeminate one. You go back, if you believe that the earth is older than 7,000 years, you can go back 25,000 BC, and there's archaeological proof that gods were seen as feminine. What I'm trying to tell you is that there's no truer nature to the real true Jehovah Yahweh than your mother. You'll never know unconditional love until you find a good mother. You will never know faith until you find a great mother. And God is a God that loves moms. And thank God for mothers who believe in the impossible and you encourage your children in their dreams. Happy Mother's Day. God bless each and every one of you. You're dismissed.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.